Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast, truly one of the most unusual ever recorded, contains dribble, slang, and frank discussion of subject matter which under no circumstances should be heard by small children, persons with a heart condition, or anyone who is upset easily. If you are such a person, or if you're the parent of a very small child in the room, we urge you to switch off your streaming device now.
Welcome to episode 4 of our summer blast.
Traveling is
five days of five vacation tales.
Vacation nightmares. We've all had them.
Vacation dreams turn into vacation nightmares.
But this is worse than not getting enough toilet paper. Yeah.
Yeah. So I say we just dive right in.
All right. Well, you know, you and I have been friends a long time, correct?
Longer than I'd like to admit. Thank you.
And we traveled a lot together, especially before our kids, right?
Yes, we did. Yep.
We had good times.
Yep.
That's what you do when you're young. You go out with your girlfriends.
And you make stupid memories, which are awesome.
You do stupid things and you do, because we did a lot of really dumb things that we're lucky that we didn't have a nightmare vacation, right?
Yes, correct.
This is what happened to these two girls. Ready?
Oh, God, this is going to be terrible. Okay, yes.
Best friends, Lynn C. Thaler, Janice Pietropola.
Janice P.
had graduated together from Penn High's High School, which is just east of Pittsburgh. It's like a suburb.
Mm-hmm.
They graduated in 1972.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after graduation, both of them went into the workforce because, as we know at the time, most people didn't even go to college, much less women. Only 15% of men and 9% of women actually completed 4 years of high school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's around 35% of men and women graduating mm-hmm. 4 years as of 2014. So they both went to work. Lynn was a secretary for Dun and Bradstreet, which is
under Mifflin.
Close. Dun and Bradstreet, a finance company. And Janice was part of an editorial staff at a finance magazine. So with their newly found independence and financial freedom, Janice and Lynn decided they would take a nice little vacation together.
Woohoo!
As girls do, right?
Yes, ma'am. Just like we did.
So the last week of June 1973, the two young, vibrant ladies set off for a road trip to Virginia Beach. Now, it's only 444 miles or 715 kilometers from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to Virginia Beach, which is roughly a 7-hour drive. So in Virginia Beach, they rented this cute little small cottage that was at the Farrar's Tourist Village. And it's like little Airbnbs, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. And they all face the ocean front. Really cute, tiny. As most do on vacation, when you're at the beach,
mm-hmm.
you spend most of your day in your swimsuit.
Mm-hmm.
You laze around on the beach. You talk to other people. You make friends with the guests in the resorts. You just have fun and lay back. But at night, you know, you want to go out.
Party.
And they were really well-liked. Everybody knew them, it seemed, at the complex. The evenings they spent drinking at the local bars. And some nights they actually went with men that they had met before. They dated a couple times. And, you know, if the date went well, they invited the men back into their cottage.
That's a nope.
That's a nope, but it happens.
I've never done that, FYI.
So, a bit after noon o'clock on June 30th, the two women had missed their checkout.
Oh, no.
So, the motel employee decided that he'd go check on them and see what was going on. So, he knocked on the door, and when the girls failed to answer, the employee used a key and went in. Inside, the motel clerk found a bloody scene. Both girls were found dead, partially clothed, and in a separate bedroom.
They were separated?
They were both in separate bedrooms. Oh, yes, okay. Each body was in a different bedroom.
Yikes. Okay.
When the police arrived on the scene, they noticed Lynn had been shot once in the cheek and once in the temple. Her throat had a 4-inch slash across. Later, it was determined that it was caused by a piece of glass that was from a wine bottle that was close to the body.
That's terrible.
Janice was shot 3 times in the side of her head, and she had been raped. Both girls were bruised and had been strangled either by hand or by a cloth. The police could not tell, and it was never discovered which one they used. Both had only been dead for a matter of hours before their bodies were found. The bullets at the scene were so smashed, they could only tell that they were from a small caliber gun. They couldn't tell what the bullet was. Later, they found out that it was from a .22. The window screen had been removed, indicating that the attacker had gotten in through the window, but it was unknown if the assailant was lying in wait for when the girls returned that night at midnight, per witnesses, or if he had entered later. They weren't even sure if it was a random murder or if the girls knew who their killer was. Both the girls' purses and their possessions were just dumped and scattered across the floor, so they didn't think it was a robbery, which, you know, two girls can get kind of messy when they're on vacation. But they didn't think robbery was the motive. Also found on the room were fake IDs saying that the girls were 21, because how else were they going to drink? But it was weird. There was also a fake ID for a third girl that was never found.
The girl wasn't found?
They don't know who the girl was. They don't know who was using the ID. If one of the girls had two IDs, they just found three IDs for three girls.
Okay.
An extensive search was ordered of the surrounding area. 15 members of the police department were put on the case, which is quite amazing since the department only had 31 people total, and that included secretaries and other office staff. They searched by helicopter. They even sent men into manholes to search the sewer. They searched everywhere, rooftops.
Ooh.
It was a huge manhunt. Never found anything. Since the girls really weren't known in the area, the police said everyone was a suspect. It was impossible for the police to even know who the girls had encountered during their five-day stay. Police interviewed everyone at the resort complex. Police even found the men Janice and Lynn had been on dates with, but they were cleared.
Were they out with those boys that same night or just during the course of their stay?
Just during the course of their five-day stay.
Okay.
When the people saw them or come home at midnight that night before they were murdered, they were by themselves.
Okay.
The witnesses thought they were by themselves, I should say. But soon everyone that they knew was cleared. They spent hours searching. And they said that it was kind of doomed from the beginning because since it was summer and they're in a vacation town, any potential witnesses or even the killer could have just left.
Yep, coming in, coming out.
Nobody would know. Yep. No one would be the wiser. At a press conference, one of the detectives said that they had no firm information that would make them concentrate on one person more than another. They had no identifiable suspects. They were mostly just trying to track down people they could connect the girls to. By 1988, the police had questioned thousands of people and all leads were exhausted. They said that the case had over 1,300 pages of
interviews
and testimonies and everything. It was amazing. And that's when, like our friend Robin would say, the trail went cold. Over the next 12 years, at least 8 other women were found murdered in the oceanfront area of Virginia Beach.
Similar to those two?
Other women went missing from the area. It wasn't until 2011 that the police admitted that the rash of murders was likely the work of a serial killer.
Oh.
They kept it to themselves. Can you believe that?
No.
They said that although the murderers were not all committed in the same way, the victims were all white, attractive women between the ages of 18 and 25.
So us.
The crimes, this one was the first one, and then it went on until like 1985 was the last murder. But the Virginia Beach Police Department never gave up looking for Lynn or Janice's killer. Their files would be brought out by new detectives, and they would attempt to look over the new materials and search for something, just one small clue that might have been overlooked in the past. The police captain at the time was William Haddon. His 31st birthday was actually the day of the crime, and he really took the case personally. And at one point, a decade after the killings, he flew out to Los Angeles to actually interview suspects to see if they were, but that lead didn't pan out. And he actually told the AP in 1988, "I've always referred to them as my girls. I still don't know why this case is so personal. There's no way I can describe that to you."
Mm-hmm.
Since the killings, the cottage where the crime had occurred has been torn down, and then they've rebuilt it to do new shops and hotels. So if you want to go visit it, you can't. It's gone. Yet the officials kept searching, and their dedication and tenacity finally paid off.
Good.
46 years later.
No.
Last year, 2018, 46 years after Janice and Lynn were brutally murdered, Virginia Seaside Police stated their cold case unit started to pursue a sturdy lead. And after 12 months investigation, they sought out advanced forensic technology, which is DNA. The police won't exactly say what they did, but it was some kind of DNA match that made them bring out the DNA evidence to have it retested again. Mm-hmm. They've had been having it tested a lot, but for some reason they just brought it back out. But they connected 80-year-old Ernest Broadnatch, a Virginia native.
Oh, he was from Virginia?
He was from Virginia. They connected him to the murders of Janice and Lynn.
Via DNA, I guess.
Via DNA.
Wow.
But they won't say how he's connected because it's a pending trial.
Yeah.
When police arrested Ernest, he was living in Queens in an affordable housing facility for military veterans. They also described his arrest as peaceful. One of the neighbors said that three detectives came and knocked on his door. They asked him if he was Ernest, and he said yes. Then they said, "Mr. Ernest, we have a thing of water for you." They gave the water to him. They dressed him up, gave him the water, and he went quietly.
Was the water liquor?
No, it was just water. The quote was, "He went very quietly. He knew he did it. They couldn't find him, and then all of a sudden they found him."
Hmm. He was 80? All those years living.
The neighbor speculated that Broadnecks was tracked down because he had to provide his social security number to actually live in the complex. Mm-hmm. But actually, the state law requires Ernest to submit DNA because he was a convicted felon.
Mm.
After they had taken Ernest out, the detectives went into his apartment and collected forensic evidence.
We don't know what they found yet, though, right?
We don't know anything yet. He was just arrested in April of this year. Broadnacks has 10 prior arrests, including burglary, assault, and a weapons possession in New York since 1990. At least two prior stints in New York State Prison. He served 3 years for burglary beginning in 1999 and eight more for assault. The police said he was selling metal scraps in Manhattan in 2006 when he got into a fight with a customer and broke the man's arm. Mm. That's bad customer service. You don't do that.
I would think so.
He was released from prison in 2013. After his arrest, Ernest's neighbors told reporters that the 80-year-old had been a recluse. He was quiet but cordial. He waved hello to neighbors, and he was carrying on small talk. One neighbor had said he was one of those older people in the building. Sometimes he forgot things, like he had dementia, and we all looked out for him. A few months ago, another neighbor said he saw that three detectives were in the hallway questioning Ernest before searching his apartment. He said the only time he ever actually saw Ernest talking with anybody was when he was invited to a tenants' meeting at the housing unit. He told everybody he was a recovering alcoholic and drug addict. He showed them his diploma that he got from the rehab center, and they said they all clapped for him. They were proud of him.
Mm.
So one neighbor told the New York Post that Ernest had hinted to him about having a dark past, but Ernest had never given him any details about his criminal history. The neighbor said, "He told me he did something years ago that he hurt somebody, but he didn't say anything about killing two people." Damn.
Well, he was honest, I guess.
Exactly. As of right now, the police have not said whether they are going to charge Ernest with the deaths of the other women in Virginia Beach, but they did say that there's really no strong evidence that all the cases are linked. But if he wasn't getting in trouble in New York until 1990...
For those years, and the cases are similar, and why did he kill those two?
And
you don't just do that. You don't stop. I don't believe it.
The last murder was 1985, so there you go. The arrest stunned Adedeo Peterson, whose mother was briefly married to Mr. Broadnacks in the 1970s. She said that Ernest had served in the Army and had been incarcerated in Virginia before he had met her mother. She said, "I didn't expect nothing like that," Peterson said, "but I wouldn't put it past him." This marriage, his second, was short-lived and soured after Ernest became violent. He whipped her mother with a pistol and on an occasion pulled a gun on her brother, Miss Peterson said. So Janice's brother, Mike, he's 57 now. He was 11 when the time of the murders happened.
Mm-hmm.
He said that that day is etched in his mind and it will be until the day he dies. And one of his biggest regrets is that his parents both died before they could see justice being brought.
It's terrible.
He said they're very pleased that finally a suspect is apprehended. But at the same time, it's bringing back a lot of memories that have been stowed away for years. And as you know, for the victim's family, this is a life sentence for us. He also stated that she was a beautiful person. She was so gentle and kind, and she had great aspirations for herself. So Ernest was extradited to Virginia, and his arraignment was just this past April 17th in Virginia Beach.
I remember seeing that now.
It was reported that Ernest appeared frail as he shuffled into the courtroom with a cane. The General District Judge Teresa Hammonds informed Ernest Gene Broadnax of the charges he faces, 2 counts of murder and 1 count of rape. And when they asked if he planned to hire an attorney, he said, "No, ma'am, not at this time." And when the judge asked if he wanted the court to determine whether he qualifies for public defender, he declined the offer. He said, "No, ma'am, I just want to get this over with." And then he mumbled something about his family. He was then placed in a waiting car by the Virginia police officers. And when the newspaper asked him if he wanted to say anything to the families of his alleged victims, he said, "No, no, no. Tell them to talk to my lawyer."
He did it.
The judge, well, he's 80. He's like probably tired of
running.
I know.
I'm just sad, though, that he had a life. They never got one.
They never got a life. But the judge scheduled a preliminary court hearing for June 14th, which may or may not be passed by the time this airs. So I'm not for sure.
I haven't seen it in the news lately.
No, I haven't either.
So I think it's nothing's happened yet.
It should happen, but we'll keep you posted on how it goes. But those poor women having fun.
Mm-mm-mm.
If he does have dementia, I wonder if he will be able to tell them what actually happened.
Well, I think at his age, he'll never even make it to trial. And I'm sure that that's what his defense attorney's doing. No, well, they'll just keep dragging it out and he'll
die.
I
don't think he has a defense attorney. He didn't want counsel. He just denied counsel.
They're going to just wait it out. I wonder if he's sick.
I don't know. He's an alcoholic, drug user.
Yeah, he's 80. He's outlived his time.
Yeah, but they keep thinking the Golden State Killer is going to die too. He's still rolling around in his little...
I think it's cheaper to just let him kind of rot in jail, isn't it? Prison?
Not for us.
Not for us, no. Not for the victims, but for them.
I don't know.
You know?
All in all, it's just horrible. And I do hope they found out what happened to the other girls. Some of them were found floating in pools. Some of them were found on the side of the road. They all had different deaths.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's why they can't figure it out. So it just depends.
He did it, though. I'm sure he just ran into them and then did it, like, saw them. And
he was doing drugs.
Case of opportunity. He saw it, wanted it, and took them.
Snuck into the cottage.
Terrible person.
When we say lock your doors...
We're not kidding.
We're not kidding. Don't talk to strangers.
Unless he saw them earlier and he snuck in and was waiting for them knowing that they lived there.
Lying in wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or followed him home, or that he had just followed him this whole vacation.
Right.
Or he could have just, which happens, picked a cottage.
Did they say if they were molested and sexually assaulted?
Janice was raped. The other one wasn't.
Okay, so he did that on purpose. You wouldn't, like, just break into a, you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
everything
was, in or something.
The purses were dumped out, but they didn't think that the robbery was the motive.
Mm-hmm.
So he could have lied in wait and waited for, I don't know, who knows. Hopefully we'll find out.
Just crazy that somebody could get away with that for all these years.
For 46 years. And, like, the parents, it's kind of like our Angie Houseman case where the man was just recently caught and he has other priors and he was in prison twice for molesting kids.
He needs to be gone permanently.
And it went on for years. And thank God DNA has advanced so much that we can find their time in jail. But it's sad that the
they have
parents,
to wait that long. Yeah.
But I guess if you believe in heaven, you see, it doesn't matter anymore, right? That's what they say. I don't know. It matters to
vengeance
me, too.
Vengeance is mine.
Damn, I would
revenge
never rest.
Is a
I, honestly, I would think
gold.
That just wanting to find out who it was, because I'm so nosy, would make me stay around forever until it was found out.
That's what I think, too. You know me. I can't stand not to know something that would...
I know. Same here. And I can't let anything go either. So, anyway, we want to say real quick, hi, Carol. Hi, Lynn. Hi, Natalie. Hi, Natalie. Hi, Allison. They were great people that we met at CrimeCon. Carol was like our CrimeCon bestie. The two Natalies and the Allison and the Lynn are absolutely fantastic girls.
Adorable.
We loved chatting and laughing with you two, three, four. Five.
Boy, you cannot count, girl.
It's math. But anyway, I'm still tired from CrimeCon.
I know you are. I can tell. I feel much better today. Yesterday, I was wiped.
Nobody lets me sleep in this household.
That's your fault because you let 5 million animals climb on you. I shut the door and lock them out. I can't do it. Sorry.
It doesn't work.
Who gets sleep then? Because I'll give you a hint. As the dog is sleeping at your feet right now. It's not. They sleep just fine.
Anyway, you want to tell everybody where they could leave us 5 stars and not 1 star? Because if you leave us 1 star, we're going to make fun of you.
You have to leave us a review for us to make fun of you. What 1 star, yeah. We can't track you down.
Yeah, but don't give them.
You
ideas.
Can give us a nice review and 5 stars on Apple, iTunes, or anywhere that you listen to your favorite podcast. You can catch us on Twitter. You can also check us out on
Twitter,
Facebook. I think they probably know this by now, or they can Google it.
Might be a new listener.
And you can look it up.
Wow, you're bitchy. You can find us at Twitter at Our True Crime
Pod. Then don't ask me to do it. If you're going to do it, then you do it.
Well, at least do it correctly.
We do this every single episode.
But what if it's a brand new listener?
And I just said, look it up.
Yeah,
you plug it in, it comes right up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
You can also find us at our blog at www.ourtruecrimepodcast.com. Camille is flipping me off right now.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Find us on Instagram at Our True Crime Podcast and give us an email if you want at ourtruecrimepodcast@gmail.com. Anyway, we love you. We're going to talk to you soon.
Remember, lock your doors
and keep passing by those open windows.
Oh, bye-bye.
Love you.
Petropolis.
Close.
Pietropola.
On one purpose. On one person. At a press
Killer
conference.
Killer dolphins,
it
I
is.
Swear.
They're mean.
They are mean.
Captain William Haddon was the captain.
Was he the captain? Was Captain Haddon... The captain, Captain Haddon, was he the
a
captain?
Come on, spit it
out. Was he a captain?
Spit it. Okay. So, according to WTKR-TV,
out
of Pittsburgh,